Hey folks, welcome to Riders Meeting. I'm your host, David Pingree, joined by Bruce Murata, as always, and our special guest today, Talon Volan. Talon, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be part of the show. It's always fun to talk racing. We love it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate you taking the time. And of course, you're the go-to guy over at Acherby's. You guys make some incredible plastic. Pretty much all of our project bikes utilize your guys' stuff, and we sure appreciate the support there. And you've been there for a while now, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I retired in 2003. Or 2002 was my last year. Started immediately in 2003 running the racing division. And then, you know, slowly also ran the Scott one. And eventually in 2010, moved over to sales. And then started running Acherby's in like 2011 all the way till now. So it's kind of like racing is pretty cool. I'm in a competitive position where I make a difference if depending on decisions that I make. And so that kind of lets me utilize still that racing attitude that I had in racing, but in business.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how we have to transition, right? Like, what's our next race?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Well, why don't you, while we've got you on the line, give us a little update on Max. You know, he started the season out so strong. He was looking so good on that pro circuit bike. And I had really high hopes for him. Of course, the mud made things weird early, but...
Yeah, he ended up losing a clutch there, but no, things were good, man. But we were out practicing, or he was at Glen Helen, which is the PC track, and just a small crash. The crash didn't even hurt him. He stepped off the bike, but as the bike was flipping behind him, he was just getting up, and the thing landed right on his leg at a weird angle and ended up dislocating his hip. But the challenge is, you know, when you go to the hospital, we're in a situation where they couldn't what they call reduce it or get it back in. And then, you know, you have to take time and they decide to do surgery. Very frustrating. I wanted them to try more or do more. But in the end, you have to wait to get a surgery room. So the longer that your hip's out, the more higher risk you are, potential nerve issues. And in the end, that's kind of what happened to Max. So a lot of people may not know this, but this is why we're not seeing anything on social media that because Max really just hasn't even been riding yet. He had a lot of pain and it was strange because a nerve gets injured in the first couple of weeks, you're feeling like you're on a normal schedule, but as the nerve starts to recover, it starts to create a lot of pain. And that's what he ended up running into. So it seems like we've passed that now, but you know, there's still a lot of challenges, you know, being a couple months, not moving the leg much, atrophy. So there's still a lot of challenges going forward. You know, maybe targeting outdoor, but I don't even know when, maybe first round or maybe later, just have to, I think the most important is when you're injured to really make sure you're ready when you come back. Otherwise you could suffer another injury. So that's what we want to focus on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For sure. Well, that's a bummer to hear. And I've never done it, but some of the guys that I've talked to who've dislocated hips say it hurts, man. It's not a fun one.
Oh yeah. I've done the shoulder, I've done the hip, but it's not good. It's not good. It's not what you want. So.
Yeah. But I've definitely had some shoulders out, so I couldn't even imagine a hip. Ugh.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's racing. I mean, well, you know, if you're in the sport and you're getting to the top, it's never an easy ride. So you have to kind of deal with this stuff step by step.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish him the best. Sure miss him out there and hope that everything heals up well, no matter when he comes back. I want to thank our sponsors here before we get rolling. Rock and Turf, these guys making some incredible products that are actually applicable to moto. They have some really cool turf mats for outside your motorhome, RV, trailer, house, wherever you want to put them. Really cool looking. I use them to change into my gear. Rock and Turf Landscape. So just check out at Rock and Turf on Instagram is where they'd like you to go. Also, Max's Tires, making a really awesome line of truck tires. If you have a truck, Sprinter, Jeep, side-by-side, whatever, go to Max's.com and check them out. And also Speedstrap.com. Speedstrap making really cool tie downs. They're going to get into more products. Also, they have a tow strap system for motorcycles and vehicles. If you get somebody stuck, get a bike that breaks way out in the middle of nowhere, great products to get you home. So, you know, Talon, you've won GPs, supercrosses, motocrosses, you kind of seen it all. Tell me your take on Indy. And I guess not just Indy, we'll dive into that in more detail, but this series in general, what are you seeing so far?
Well, watching the East Coast, you know, we watch closely 250, of course. I mean, Max every race, and it's been pretty chaotic, and it makes it pretty interesting how close they are. I mean, Pierce Brown, I don't see him all the time, but he's right there in a championship. So it's pretty wild how this is all working out. And it looks like McAdoo is finding his footing. He was injured. I remember when we were training, he ended up crashing and he didn't come out for another month. So he only had a couple weeks under his belt. So he looks like he's getting better. And yeah, I think the PC bikes are really good right now too. So that's helping those guys.
Yeah, they definitely look good. Well, let's get right to our Speedstrap 250 main event, which was actually three main events at Indy. And, you know, it's funny, this dirt, and we had this conversation with Jimmy Button in our Sight Lap show. Indy was always really good dirt. I don't remember it being this ruddy. In the last 2 years, it's just been a mucky mess. And,
yeah,
you know, Jimmy even alluded to it. A lot of that is dependent on the weather that you have in that area throughout that season, but also where they're storing the dirt. And I wonder if these last couple of years, they're either getting it from somewhere else or storing it somewhere else where it's sitting outside exposed to the elements. Because, man, the last 2 years, it's been a goopy, sticky mess.
It has. I mean, even in 21, it was pretty sticky there. So it's been some years now that it's almost like you kind of count on it, just like you count on Seattle. It's just
right.
Sticky. Yeah. It makes it interesting, though. You know, really, you see the technical riders. I'm thinking more like 450s when you see how fast Roczen and Jet could go on that stuff. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, and I wish people could get down and actually walk the track, because, you know, it is so much more difficult than it looks on TV. And they'll show all the rhythm lanes with the riders coming at you, so you don't really get a perspective of the ruts. I wish they would show more of the front side and see what these guys, every time they're negotiating a jump, it's just a comb of ruts across the whole face.
You
get into the air, sometimes a little cockeyed or crooked, and you've got to pick a rut because you got to land in one and take off out of another one. It's so freaking technical.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's scary too, like even taking off those triples. And I mean, it's hard to see with the shadows inside those ruts, right? So sometimes you're picking one, or a guy's in your line, so you got to take another one and it's a little deep. So you have that last second little kick where you got to get your body back. So they always happen to adjust. It's always pretty scary.
I don't miss that at all.
Yeah.
Well, this first main event, kind of the thing that stood out for me, and this was, you know, my in the 250 class, my Max's moment of the night, we call it, was two things. It was Vial's crash in the whoops, which I think cost him a shot at the overall, and then also Deegan's crash later on in the night in the start that would cost him a shot at the overall.
Mm-hmm.
And those were really kind of the two pivotal moments. And Cameron McAdoo, to your point, Talon, has been really consistent. He seems like now he's building. Coming into the weekend, I was kind of saying, man, look out, Tom Vial is look like he's got it going on. He won Daytona. He won at Birmingham on a kind of a regular supercross track. And it's funny they mentioned the broadcast. Birmingham was a race that was a normal supercross track, with the exception of they didn't have whoops.
Right.
So that's kind of the last little hurdle Vial's got to get over, is to be really effective in the whoops. And damn it, if it didn't bite him in Indy.
Right.
And he went down while running up towards the front.
Yep. I'll tell you, he did look good. I mean, when you watch him in time training, it's funny how a win or even two, you just see a confidence, a totally different confidence. So that's, I think that's going to carry him through. He's going to be a big challenger for this championship this year.
Bruce, what did you see in these opening races here?
Well, you know, with McAdoo, I mean, I had him for the win, Ping. So it didn't really surprise me to see where he put himself at. But one thing I wanted to mention for both of you guys is talking about the whoops, how Vial goes down in the whoops. Man, that just seemed like such an awkward whoop section coming into that right-hander. It's like, and as you mentioned before, Ping, like, it's always hard to slow down in a whoop section. So did you guys notice anything like that, where just it was so awkward how they had to slow down to come into that tight right? So,
that was crazy. I mean, if you saw that one, the one move with Deegan, barely breaks the, you know, missed. That was pretty wild. So that was.
But one of my highlights of the first that first race was I thought Cody Shock rode really good, with especially with the broken collarbone. He surprised me.
Hey, he surprised me. I tell you, me and Max were talking about that, because I've raced a lot of years. So you see collarbones, and only guy I've seen do something like that before was Everett's racing the title. I don't remember what year it was, late 90s, but he had a surgery, and in 14 days, he ended up getting third at the GP. We were at Bud's Creek. And I told Max, there's no way Shock is going to make it. You can't get surgery and race, and even Supercross is worse. I honestly had no idea how he did that. It was amazing.
Yeah, and he got fifth in that first race.
So yeah, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's had a good season just all around, outside of that injury. But for him to come back, he showed, I think, sort of another side to him, which is that he's gritty and he's not a pussy. You know, and I became a little bit more of a fan, like going, all right,
yeah,
you know, go on, Cody. I like it. To touch on the whoops that you were talking about, Bruce, they were weird. And, you know, they had that inside, had an extra half whoop. So depending on which way you went, you couldn't just like keep skimming all the way through. If you did, you ended up really wide in that turn. So it made it very technical and weird. And I think they probably assumed, because of the dirt being so soft, they would be jumpers anyway, which they turned into. But I like when they do stuff like this. I am frustrated with the tracks being so cookie cutter. And so, I mean, these guys, you watch them in practice, they go out the first or second lap, they jump everything, you know, man, challenge them, make it so that it's weird and they can't get into a flow. I think that it doesn't have to be crazy big jumps, just make it challenge them, you know, make it more technical. And so, as weird as it was, I liked it, and it did create mistakes. It created time lost and gained. So I thought it was actually pretty cool.
Definitely with it being soft too, it was like a whole nother element.
And I guess we'll get to the 450 class in a little bit, but the way those guys were going through it was freaking crazy. We'll talk more about that. I do want to say, like, Cameron McAdoo is a completely different person this year. And I don't know what the reason is for that. I hope to have him on the show here soon and ask him, but in the past, he's been fast. With his years at Pro Circuit, always had the speed to win, but man, he was a crasher and made a lot of mistakes and just seemed like he was trying way too hard. And this year he has been the opposite of that. Still good speed, but not, maybe he's just ratcheted it down a touch and went, you know what? I'm good for a second tonight. I'm going to take a second. And he's been this consistent guy outside of round one with his, you know, package hanging out, which was not his fault. But he's been very consistent, and it's put him out front now with the red plate. And if you guys had to pick a horse right now, and again, this isn't even excluding Deegan or Pierce Brown. Deegan is 16 back, which if this were just East Coast rounds throughout the rest of the season, I'd say I don't think he's got a real good chance. I think there's no way that Vial and McAdoo have bad races enough to get Deegan back in this. But we have the East-West shootout, or whatever we're calling it, or East-West, you know, where they're combined. And I think that is the one race that could still get Deegan back in this. If he can go out and win, and McAdoo and Vial end up with like a fourth, sixth, something like that, he's back in this. So I don't want to exclude him or Pierce at this point, but it definitely looks like it's a two-man race at this point between McAdoo and Vial. Who do you guys like? I'd be curious to get your picks. And why?
I'll let you go.
I agree with you, Dave. Like, I would not count Deegan out. Like, what I've seen from him, speed and having these West shootouts, I mean, 16 points is nothing. Vial, I'm still curious to see when they get. I feel like McAdoo is what we've noticed, you know, on our tracks out West, super fast in the whoops when they're like regular whoops. And if they come across any hard tracks, I think that's going to be favorable to him, where I feel like I still see Vial a little bit challenged in the whoops when I see him ride. So I'd be interested to see. So I think it's still a really good mix. It's really up in the air. So I agree with you with the East West. It could be any of those guys.
Bruce?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, for Deegan, you know, in that second heat or in that second main event, you know, that's what I was expecting from him all season long. You know, he's had a lot of just weird, I don't know if he's creating his own luck, but, you know, with him going down in those first corners and he's just not being as consistent as like what McAdoo's doing. Man, I'm really leaning towards Cameron on this championship here, Ping. So yeah, I just think he's you know, and his confidence obviously building, you know, more and more. And I look at him as being just more conservative this year and just playing it really smart.
Yeah, he seems very focused and like in a good place mentally and everything else. So I got to agree with you. I kind of thought Tom Vielle had it going on, but after watching Indy, Talon, I really agree with what you said, where I just see these little boxes. He's still got a tick to become a very well-rounded Supercross rider. And
yeah, that's
whoops are definitely the biggest one he's got to figure out. Because even if he doesn't crash, he's losing time in them. And a guy like Cameron McAdoo is going to eat him up if they have regular whoop sections. So it'll be interesting to see. I want to touch on one more thing before we move on to the 450 class. And that is Hayden Deegan's sort of behavior and maturity. And it really got, you know, we got hammered on our social media for just posting stuff about him. You know, say what you want about his antics, behavior, et cetera, you know, the danger zone and just like whatever, all of the stuff, right? He's an incredible rider. I've been blown away with his grit and how well he did last year as a rookie. Obviously he came in hurt this year, so that changes everything. And I don't know that we'll really know the details of it till this championship's over. I would guess it was worse than he alluded to, or he was off longer than he alluded to. But he really has come unraveled, or did for a few rounds there, and let it get to him. And he was, man, flipping people off and screaming and yelling at people. And it was like, you know, it's rookie stuff though, right? And Talon, I think 15 years ago, you know, me as a media guy, I would have lit him up and said, oh, this kid, what a spoiled brat. He needs to da, 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 da. And over time, as you get older, you kind of go, you know what? When you're 17, 18, 19, whatever you are, you're just kind of you're a kid. And I'm trying to just give him a little bit of grace there. Even though, you know, some of the things that I may have seen in his father, I'm like, gosh, please don't be your dad. Please be your own guy, you know, because he could be a kid that really carries this sport on his back down the road. He's that good. And I just wanted to see him be a little more mature. And man, he was great last night on the podium, the things he said, his behaviors. I saw, and whether this was the little family sit down that they talked about on TV or his team helping him or him just kind of sorting through it, I felt like he handled his emotions better. And at least I'm watching what appears to be him maturing as a human and a racer. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that, I felt the same way. I mean, obviously he's an amazing rider. He has definitely clicked a lot of the boxes when I watched him last year. But I also felt like just being a little more humble, he'll have more fans instead of just being the bad guy. And I see him start turning on that a little bit this week. He's definitely a super amazing rider. So he's definitely got a bright future.
Yeah, I think he'll mature, Ping. But at the end of the day, come on, look who his dad is.
Yeah. You know? And so I'm okay with him being like kind of the villain, but you know, when you're, I don't know, man, there's also a limit too, right? Where you gotta be able to be humble. I remember Bob Hanna, if you watched him, boy, there was nobody more full of bravado and arrogance. But if he got beat, he would get up on the podium and go, oh man, you know, they whipped my ass today. I just didn't have it. He was also very humble in defeat. And that's the trick, right? You can be this cocky, arrogant guy and have this big persona, but when you get beat or it doesn't go your way, you have to just own it. And that will keep people on your side. You start, you know, running up to teams and screaming at them and flipping people off. It's like, man, people don't dig it. You know, it looks like a temper tantrum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruce, give us the points real quick in this class and maybe run through the top 10 overall.
Okay, so you got McAdoo leading at 98 points. Tom Vielle, 2 points down from that. Pierce Brown in third, 11 points down. Hayden Deegan in fourth, 16 points down. Cody Schalk in fifth, 19 points down. Seth Hamaker in sixth at 26 points down. Daxon Bennett in seventh, 27 points down. Max Anstine in eighth, 36 points down. Chance Hymus in ninth, 38 points down. and Jalik Swole in 10th at 40 points down.
Okay. Yeah, and there was a couple of guys in there I did want to mention. Jalik, and I feel like this guy, he gets the starts, he's got speed, he's got all the things he needs, but he just mistakes. This guy can't keep it on two wheels. Good ride for Daxton Bennick. Anybody else in there that stood out to you guys or that you have something to say about? Talon?
I just, you know, it's cool that Triumph's in there, and I think Matt is like his pretty much best friend is Jalik, so they're always talking and every weekend. So we really follow him and watched him, and it was really cool that second moto, getting that whole shot and leading the lap, you know, from Triumph. I feel like watching the new bike, that it handles really well. It looks a little bit underpowered, so I think they got some work to do. But I think Jalik's doing good. It's the first year. He actually was fourth going into that last moto and had potential to get a top three, and they had, you know, a bike issue, but that's kind of to be expected on a first year bike. So I feel like Jalik's going to get a podium. So we'll just have to see here in the next few rounds, but he's definitely fast and they're working hard. So we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be fun to watch. Bruce, tell me what you think about Chance Hymus. Factory Honda kid, sophomore season. I feel like we should have seen more out of him by now, and he's been pretty much invisible.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like the beginning of the season, or, you know, he definitely showed a lot more in him. I mean, he was up front leading a couple races in the heats and stuff. You know, I don't know if there's something going on, because I definitely expected him to be running up front a lot more. And maybe that'll come. So yeah, it's just weird. I mean, he's still his, in the first race, you know, he was ninth, second, fifth, you know, the third, I can't actually remember, he was outside the top 10 in the third race. So just, kind of all over the place. So I don't really know if there's just something he's struggling with or, but I definitely expected more out of him this season. So, and maybe that'll come.
Yeah, so we'll have to keep an eye on it. All right, and there was some chatter of him hurting his knee preseason, so
maybe right.
That's something. That's the only thing I was thinking. Yeah. Maybe he's got something.
Yeah, yeah, and so maybe, and I don't know. Maybe it's just one of those things where it feels good, and you know, I don't know, but I'm definitely, yeah, it's weird to see him how he's been finishing. But I do want to just do. I want to say one thing, kind of where we're at with the points. The guy that just shocks me the most is Cody Shock. I mean, fifth in points. I mean, gosh dang, and no disrespect to Cody, I think he's a great rider. But I did not expect him to be finishing where he's at. So I think that's really cool to see how he's been doing.
Well, the Club MX guy said that, he had made huge gains going out there, and, they were excited to see where he was going to take off. Same with Jet Reynolds. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he just never made it to the heat races. Poor guy. Yeah. But those guys have a great bike, a great program. So I'm excited for Cody to get that chance, and he's doing something good with it. So that's great.
And I felt like, you know, when he won that heat race last weekend, it was like, wow, you start to see the momentum. But then in the main, with the whole thing happening right there, that really, you know, the collarbone is zapped him. So it's to even do what he did and still be in the series like that, considering if that main event could have went well for him, I don't know, man. He could have been a serious title contender. Still might. Mm-hmm.
It was impressive. Yep. Well, let's move on to this 450 class, because there's lots to talk about here. And it was really the Jet Lawrence and Ken Roczen show all night long. And all three main events started the same way, with Kenny getting the whole shot, Jet sitting behind him for a while until he figured it out, making a pass, and then just running away with the win. And I guess my overall take on all of the night's racing was, you know, and we alluded to this last week after it was two in a row. Now that it's three in a row and you start to look at the points, you go, okay, this is kind of what we all, or a lot of us, expected to happen this season. Whether it's his technique, his start, just all of it, the whole package, Jet's on another level. And as disappointing as it is, I really wanted to see Tomac go out as a winner. I wanted to see this championship kind of carry. I wanted to see Chase have a good season and get, you know, be in there in the mix. And it's like, no one can match this kid's stuff right now. And I fear we're on the opening stages of a really long McGrath-esque type of run. And maybe even more so than that, because Jet's just as good outdoors as he is in Supercross. And I think he's going to probably get 10 wins this season and have this title wrapped up long before the series ends.
He could, man. It was amazing, you know, particularly just going into the whoops. Yeah, I'm sure you guys saw that.
I
was talking to my brother. We follow racing. So why don't other guys don't jump in it? They don't jump in it because it was difficult and technical. He was the only guy in the end. You know, those guys were doing it the first moto. Second moto, I saw Webb do it a few times. Some of the guys do it, but by the third moto, he was the only guy still doing it. And it was, you know, second to second and a half faster that made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
But Talon, you know, both you guys, how freaking technical that is. The speed off that roller has to be perfect. Yeah. Because if you land too long, too short, like it's, or you're a little bit left or right, it's going sideways and you're hitting that roller and it's like it kind of turned left into the whoop. So he's not only jumping into him, he's jumping into him at an angle.
He totally was jumping in an angle. And then he would just, instead of, you know, most guys jump in an angle, it shoots them left or right. Somehow the kid would land and then just pop up the next three. It was just, that's why he's winning the championship. He's like you said, another level. Like, it ain't easy.
Yeah.
We, you know, there's these riders that change the game, raise the bar, whatever. We talked about it forever. You know, it's Hannah, it's, you know, Jeremy, it's Ricky, it's James, and he's the next guy. And it's, as much as it's going to be a bummer to have one guy just crushing everybody for a while.
Yeah.
I keep saying it, just enjoy what you're watching because you're seeing something special. This guy is like going to be something. He's going to put his name in the record books big time. And this is something too. I want to just mention this. I don't know if you caught our show with Phil Lawrence, the Whiskey Throttle show, but Phil said something to me. We were talking about how he and I, why didn't we go further? You know, what held us back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And because we had limited success, right? Like a handful of wins. And, you know, Phil had a second behind McGrath at the Orlando Opener 96. I mean, Phil was super talented. Like, why couldn't it go further? And he says, well, let me ask you this, Ping. He goes, how many elite level champions, like Hall of Fame guys, do you know that come from broken homes or pass with a bunch of chaos and drama in them? And I had never really thought about it, but go through your list of names right now. Okay. Bob Hanna, Jeff Ward, Jeremy McGrath, Brian Dungey, Chad Reed, Ricky Carmichael, James Stewart, now Jet Lawrence, all of them from families that the mom and dad are together. They're a very tight unit. They're not necessarily, doesn't matter if they're poor or wealthy or somewhere in the middle, but it's a solid family unit. And I'm telling you, go through it. The number of elite level guys, like somebody said, Everett's parents were split up, and so that he would be the one outlier that I could think of. But whether it's financial, or to me, it's more of like if you have a family that's solid, you know, they've always got your back. You're more willing to take risks, not afraid to fail. Maybe just more confident in yourself. Whatever it is, and it was actually funny because it tied together with something that Deion Sanders said in an interview, and he got in trouble for saying it, about how he hired people at Colorado, the football team he's coaching. He goes, look, if I'm looking for a quarterback, I want a 4.0 student. I want a family that's together, mom and dad both in the house, kid's a good leader, well-spoken. He goes, but if I'm trying to find a defensive lineman, I want a single mama in the home, you know? Dad's out of the picture. Kid's hungry. They're on food stamps. Like, I want this kid to be an animal. And he got a lot of heat for saying that, but it's like, it really, to me, put what Phil and I were talking about in perspective, is that your upbringing really has a lot to do with how you turn out and what your kind of ceiling is. And I mean, statistics don't lie. Go through it and just start listing off some of your favorite riders and then ask yourselves whether or not their folks are still together or were when they were racing. Ryan Villopoto, you know, until his father passed, his parents were together. So, I mean, I was telling you, it's single digits and probably low single digits, the number of guys who have multiple titles that come from a broken home. And anyway, it's just a really interesting dive and something I'd never thought of. But here you look at Jet's family, man, they're tight as butt cheeks. Like mom, dad, the brothers, they are a solid unit. And you see both of the boys being real successful. I mean, Hunter, although he's not on Jets level, man, as a rookie season, bunch mm-hmm. of top fives, like, you yeah. know, he's doing great.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it helps too, just, you know, he gets to ride every day with Jet. So I felt like in the 250 class that really raised the bar, and they were both on a totally different level. I think that, you know, Jet had to, I've noticed even his last three races, like he made some mistakes early, but I see him now super focused. Like he ain't messing around, which kind of bums you out, 'cause you know, like probably he's going to win, but he's definitely, I think compared to the 250 class, you can see just a difference between him and Hunter. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that kid. He's just crazy good. So that's the way it is.
It's pretty wild. You know, Kenny Roczen won this race last year. It was probably even ruddier and you know, stickier yeah. conditions last year. And he shines in this stuff, you know. Talon, you can speak. You've raced plenty of European Supercrosses where he grew up over in Germany. The dirt's like Play-Doh, just like this, what we saw in Indy. So he's probably right at home. And anytime it gets technical, whether it's mud, ruts, whatever, Kenny shines. He's a technically really proficient rider.
Yeah, you look at the last 2 weeks, it would have been the same old guys that went every year. It would have been Eli last year, but he got beat by Jet. And then this, it would have been Roczen this week, but he got beat by Jet. So him being there is changing everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bruce, what do you think?
I mean, man, Roczen, he really surprised me this weekend. I mean, and we knew that. I mean, I know Jimmy Button was even talking about that. Like his sprint speed is really good. He was, I just feel like he was the only one that kept Jet very honest this weekend. Other than Sexton had a good third main event ride. But I do want to mention one thing to both of you guys before we forget about this. The thing that was the highlight of my race night was what could have happened had they collided when Roczen cross jumped over the finish line. Did you guys catch that?
I did. It was kind of hard to see how close it was on the TV from the front. It looked like they just barely missed.
Yeah.
But I think there was probably enough room between them where it wasn't as sketchy for Jet. 'Cause he crossed right over his behind him. You know what I mean? I don't think he would have done that. If it was really close, he would have checked up and went right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I went back and watched those, and they really raced each other really fair. There was a moment Jet got by him, I think in the third moto, going over those table to table.
The step on, step off.
Yeah, and he gave a little room to Roczen, and Roczen kind of took it. It was, he could have, you know, they were racing super fair. Like they gave each other room to race, and it made for great racing, and it was good because none of them did stupid stuff like take each other out. It was perfect.
Right.
Yeah, that section, that pass you're talking about, because it took like three straightaways. You know, he kind of got inside of him.
Yep.
And then they were side by side on those tables. And that was the sketchier moment to me.
Yeah.
You're stepping on and off. If you looked at those tables, they were all rutted. You know how easy it is to just like get a little cross rutted and move left or right, like to trust each other. You know, there was probably only six inches between their handlebars, and they're going over these tabletops into that turn. And then when Jet actually sealed the deal, if you go back and watch how tight he went right over that hump and doubled out, I was like, God, how is he do it?
Yeah.
Like,
that's another little technical spot. You don't realize he makes it look so easy, but then why wasn't Roczen doing that? Where they come out of that corner and he would just seat bounce double, and then he'd get that other rhythm going through there.
Or even going onto the tables, how rutted that jump got. Did you notice how fast Jet was going through there?
Yeah.
And Kenny started drifting wide to get out of that deep rut, and Jet it didn't even bother him. Right into the deep rut, it's like,
And you look at an amazing rider like Cooper Webb, and he's super technical, but when you watch him through those step-on, step-offs, he's just like, it's almost like he's hesitating, like jumps on, slows down a little bit, jumps off, you know, like, man. And like you said, Ping, it does not do its justice watching on TV. If fans walked that track or even rode a lap around it, I mean, it would just be like insane.
I feel like, you know, mentioning Webb, his whole night got screwed up there hitting with Clayson. He definitely was on it, but it was like one of those things where once you lose your momentum, it just made the rest of the night more challenging for him. So I would definitely say it was an off night to a weird circumstance, but still sitting second in a championship anything can happen. Everybody's jet, but you know, you're one mistake away from all of a sudden everything changes again.
Yeah, that's true.
And I do want to touch on some things, Ping. So although I did say Roczen was definitely keeping Jet, you know, he kept the heat on him all night. That third race was interesting, though, because not only did Sexton, you know, he passed Roczen, Webb at the end actually started to catch Roczen on that third race.
That's what Cooper does. So, I mean, he's a beast. The one thing that's holding him back this year is his starts. And It's kind of always been that way. If you think about it, he's not really known for being a good starter because he always is like the guy that catches you the last three laps and gobbles you up, you know, when you think you can just coast it in. If he wants to get in this fight, which this weekend kind of screwed him. I mean, I have that incident with Clayson as the Maxis moment of the night, because it, to me, really, whatever chance Cooper had, he was the closest guy to Jet in points. And if he was really going to challenge him and just beat him heads up throughout the rest of the season, he had to stay close and at least minimize the points lost this weekend. And that crash, man, that hurt him. And, you know, my gut reaction when I see something like that is like, gosh dang it, freaking lappers, dude. Like,
yeah,
you got to see the blue flag. Like, just what are you doing in the race line? I don't know. I get really frustrated because that affected the night big.
I went back and watched that, and he kind of like cross-rutted and felt he was going to the right, but then he looked back to the right and it made him go to the right even more.
Yeah.
He ran right into Webb. Like, Webb did nothing wrong there. It just,
yeah,
bad deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very frustrating. And nothing against Cade Clayson in particular, but it's like, if you're rolling the track and you're out of the race, I just wish they'd black flag him. Just pull him off. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when you go two laps down, you should be pulled off. That's my personal opinion.
I agree.
And just take whatever position you're in at the time or whatever it gives you. Like, that's it. But these guys that roll around, just get off the track. You know, you're a moving obstacle, and it's affecting the outcome of these races. Chase Sexton had a good night. I feel like, man, it's just, he's just not where he wants to be. And you know, you can hear that in his voice, and it's probably very frustrating to him. What do you guys see in Chase? And do you think he's got it under the hood to run with Jet when he gets really comfortable?
Man, I mean, he looks amazing. It looks like it really got the KTMs working better this year. It's like what we said though, Jet's on this next level, but again, you know, we all thought Eli had it last year going to the last race. Like, anything can happen. If you're sitting second or third, and I don't care if you're 15 or 20 points back, you're still in it. So, like, anything can happen. Yeah. Every day you got to go practice on these darn tracks. And when you're practicing, just one little mistake can cost you an ankle or a wrist. So, I don't know. Jet's the best guy right now. But, again, Webb's not out of it. Chase ain't out of it. Those guys aren't they second and third right now? I'm sure. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think anybody has it the same level as Jet. Like, when I see him, he looks like he's riding, you know, everybody says that, about 80%, and then when he's got to crank it up, he can.
Yeah, I don't think he's shown us all the speed he's got. Like, if he had to drop a second or two a lap, I think he could. That's the crazy part.
The crazy part is to think about the next 2 years, because he's like a rookie this year. He's just going to become better and better. It's not going to be good.
Yeah, and Ping, I think if the nights that Jet doesn't show up as himself, you know, those are the nights that a Sexton, a Webb can capitalize and beat him. But I think if when Jet shows up and he's on his, you know, he does what he does, I don't see anyone beating him right now. I just don't.
Well, and here's the thing that gets scary from a fan's perspective is you got Eli, who's at the tail end of his career. So is Webb. So is Kenny. You know, a lot of these guys are going to, in the next several years, be going away. Definitely. And so who is next to challenge Jet? Maybe Deegan, you know?
Yeah, like, I'd be the guy just with the persona and the riding. He would be, I mean, you'll get some of these guys, Pearson, all of them are move up. But man, it's just, there's really nobody you can think of at the moment.
Yeah.
But times change things a little bit. So we'll see. But man, the next 2 or 3 years, it's pretty scary to think about what kind of runs that could go on. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, crazy. So, Bruce, run us through the top 10 here and then where we're at in the point standings.
Okay, so Jets leading. He's got 210 points. Webb in second, 21 points down. So that's almost a race, you guys. Sexton third at 25 points down. Roxon fourth, 35 points down. Tomac fifth, 36 points down. Anderson sixth, 45 points down. Plessinger seventh, 48 points down. Justin Cooper in eighth with 90 points down. Justin Barsha in ninth at 101. And then Dylan Fernandez 10th with 103 points down. So it's, you know, Ping, it's getting to that in talent. It's getting to that point where, you know, it's going to be really hard. Yeah, I mean, Jet just needs to be now just consistent. He can almost afford just to be top three. You know,
do you know what I thought was interesting when they asked him, I think it was Will Christensen said, you know, hey, Jet, you know, now your points, you know, lead has gotten bigger and you got to feel good about that or something. He goes, oh, I don't even know what it is. And she goes, it's 21 points now. And he goes, he kind of has this goofy little smile. He goes, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, he's not even, it seems as though, and maybe he's just being coy, but he's not even really thinking about that. Like he has a job. You go out every weekend, just win weekend to weekend. Right. And it's the right attitude.
He needs to stick to that too. Like, you don't want to start counting your points. Like he's good. He just needs to ride like he rides. He looks super focused to me. The last 3 weeks after those mistakes that he made in the first few rounds, he just looks super focused, but hey, that's what it takes.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and we said, actually Chad Reed said it, and it was, you know, maybe the best statement I had heard after those first, prior to Daytona. Chad said, this kid isn't getting beat. He's losing these races. You know, the ones that he wasn't winning. He goes, he's losing them. And so it's going to be on him to just clean it up. And damn it, if he didn't, starting at Daytona, you just saw, like you said, Talon, like this extra crisp focus. Like, okay, I got to cut this crap out. I'm giving these races away. So, I'd be curious if they heard what Chad said, or maybe, you know, probably don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out in his camp either, but you could definitely see they made an adjustment and it's paying off.
Yeah, well, this is championship time right now, and he's making it pay. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, Ricky always used to say that, right? The series really starts at Daytona.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm sure that Johnny, that's probably something that came from Johnny O. Right. Johnny O's working with Jet. Like, maybe that's where it came from. You know, Johnny went, hey, okay, this is where it's like crunch time. You need to get your shit together. Let's really focus. No more little mistakes. No more, you know, whatever. It's time to be serious about this. And yeah, I think that's bad news for everybody else.
Yeah.
Anybody else in this top 10 that had a night or something that you wanted to mention, either of you guys?
Man, I really did expect a lot more out of Tomac. But I mean, as we said too, this whole season is so, man, it's crazy. I mean, we've seen it before where Roxon wins a race and the next weekend he's eighth. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. So,
after, what was the round prior to Daytona? Brain farting which race it was, but Eli had a great race. We kind of finally saw that beast mode back. And he on the podium, he said, you know, I'm warming up, I'm coming. And I was like, ooh, yeah, okay, this could get interesting. We're going to Daytona. Everyone kind of expected Eli to win. And then he didn't do poorly. Like you said, Talon, if it wasn't for Jet, he'd have won.
Yeah.
But it's like, did that take the wind out of Eli's sails? What do you make of the Tomac situation? Because he's clearly still capable of going that speed, right? We saw it.
Yeah.
But then.
Yeah, we just didn't see it this week. I mean, you know what's going on with
last week, right? So, yeah, like, what do you think's going on?
Yeah, I don't know, man. The guy's super, super gnarly. I don't know. He just wasn't. You just didn't notice him that much this week, right? I don't know if it was the starts. You know, the truth is, though, you got six or seven guys. I mean, even Plessinger's riding good. There's seven guys that are riding so good. So even when Eli's at the back of that pack, it's not, I don't know, it doesn't feel like he has the advantage that he used to have. So I feel like everybody stepped up their game. It's just the Jets on some other level.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And I think that makes it even more impressive what Jet's doing, because if you go back to a lot of McGrath's years,
yeah,
you know, and I don't want this to come off as a dig to any of those riders, but like you had Larry Ward, who I love, Big Bird. Yeah. But he was on a no lean, like Sizzler Yamaha, like a privateer bike, and he was getting second.
Right. I remember that.
So compare that to right now, where Jet's competing against, like you just mentioned, seven factory guys who are all like riding great, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of the guys, I mean, even Roxton's riding the best he's ridden in years. And then Plessinger is like, hey, he was leading with the red plate. This is the best he's ever ridden in years. And then you still have the main guys, which are, you know, Cooper Webb and God, there's and Eli. I mean, again, there's seven, and even Anderson is fast. You know, Max trained a lot with him. It's crazy. You don't really realize how good these guys that he's racing are. They're the elite of the elite. Like when you go out, when you're us, like you watch them, I watch them, like we really see the little differences. And, you know, I think a regular person doesn't, but I mean, what he's doing is just crazy time. These guys have 7, 8 years, 9 years in the 450 class at that level. And he just rides like easily in front of them. It's pretty insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. And I want to say this about Ken Roczen too. I wonder what would have happened if Kenny hadn't broken his arm, because that season was sort of Kenny doing what Jet's doing right now. Right. Yeah. And I think when you talk about technically proficient riders and just being able to do things on the bike that maybe others can't, whether it's corner speed or just hitting ruts, being precise, Kenny was really that guy before Jet was.
Yep.
Maybe not to the level, but I think that was his window of being like the best right there. And it, right as it was opening, it got taken away from him. And so I think he's finally back to being healthy enough that he can ride like himself, but he's so old by racing standards that, I mean, then we're ancient if I'm calling him old, but
yeah,
I'm just saying by racing standards, he's what is he, 30 or whatever he is. So he's kind of past that window of like his prime, right?
Right.
What would we have seen out of Kenny Roczen had he not gotten hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been a multi-supercross champion. He was just, you know, he has got quite a few wins under his belt. You know, he was, I would say, Jet Lawrence when he was coming up. I mean, that super talent. You still see it now. Like, he's probably half the guy he used to be, and look how good he can go. It's ridiculous. Right. You know, so yeah, you can, I mean, it's rare. Those guys are super rare. That's why they get paid so much. But it's, you know, he was that guy, and now Jet is that guy. So that's just the way it is.
And I think it's a good example, Talon, like what you were saying, how in just a moment things can change.
Yeah. So
it looks like we're heading for all these years of Jet dominating. It just takes one little kicker to pop you funny that you don't expect, and your whole trajectory of your career is changed.
Think about Rick Johnson. I mean, you have guys in their career and things happen. So it's never over till it's over. And, you know, I mean, obviously he looks amazing, but like you said, anything can happen at any time. It just it changes everything.
Absolutely. Bruce, anything to wrap up here?
Man, just it's an interesting season. That's for sure. So, you know, I think we see where it's going as far as, you know, Jet running away with this thing. So it'll be interesting to see who's going to be racing for second.
Yeah, well, and we do have still another thing is some mud races. It's looking like Seattle's going to be a mudder next weekend, which I can't believe I'm saying that again.
Yeah,
freaking mud races this year, man. It's just out of control. But the forecast is looking like rain in Seattle in the spring. Who would have imagined?
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, hey, Talon, thanks so much for stepping in, man. I really appreciate the time and the work you're doing at Achurbis is awesome. You guys make amazing stuff. If anybody needs plastic for your bike, that's a place to start for sure. And I want to thank our partners, Rock and Turf, Maxxis, and Speedstrap. If you guys are looking for artificial turf for your home or mats for your trailer, truck, or the back of your Sprinter, check those guys out. Maxxis Truck Tires and Speedstrap tie downs and toe straps. Great stuff from all of those boys, and we appreciate their support. For Bruce Murata, I'm David Pingree saying thank you to Talon Voland, and thank you guys for listening. Just be sure to tune back later this week when we hit Sightlap looking ahead to Seattle. Thanks so much. Have a great day, guys. See ya.
All right. Thanks. Yeah.